So good morning, everyone. Today, I have the privilege of filling in for the illustrious Rabbi Nitzan, and I only wish my accent was half as good as his.
Yeah,
I'm from Jersey, so you know we got a Jersey accent over here. What can I tell you? I'm from New Jersey. Today the topic is going to be Emuna 101. Emuna is a fundamental concept in Judaism, and there's a phrase that the Jewish people are Nachnu Ma'aminim B'nei Ma'aminim, that we are believers, the children of those who believed. And here is some psukim, here are some verses in the Torah with this idea is described. The first is from Bereishis Perek Tesvav Pasuk Vav, V'hemin Ba'ashem, and Avram believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believed in the Almighty, V'yachshaveh Lo Tzedakah, and Hashem accounted it to Avram as righteousness. Some of them refer to him, they explain that no, it's really Avram thinking that Hashem was righteous, but we're not going to get into that right now. It's clear that the concept of Avram having Emuna is already relatively early in the Torah. Another source is from Shemos, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayamin Ha'am, and the people believed, Vayishma'u, and they heard, Ki Fakad Hashem es B'nei Yisrael, that Hashem had remembered the children of Israel. Another source that comes up a little later that we say every morning in davening, from Shemos, Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayar Yisrael Sayyad HaGedalah, and the Jewish people saw Hashem's great hand, Asher Asa Hashem b'Mitzrayim, that Hashem had used on the Egyptians, Vayiru'am es Hashem, and the people were in awe of Hashem, Vayaminu b'Hashem, and they believed in Hashem, uv Moshe Avdo, and in Moshe his servant. In other words, we're just going to stop at that point in Shemos, because we could keep going through the rest of Shemos, Tanakh. We're going to stop there just for the interest of brevity. But in other words, faith in Hashem, this idea of Emunah, is part of the spiritual DNA of the Jewish people. However, it is also a very misunderstood concept. People throw around phrases such as, don't worry, just believe, just have Emuna. But what does it mean to have this concept of Emuna? A simple translation of the word means faith. But the translation does not do this concept justice, and many one-word translations don't really work for many Hebrew terms and concepts, because they are much more nuanced than one word of English can possibly reflect. So today, let's try to understand the concept of Emunah and its impact on our relationship with Hashem. Emunah is extremely powerful. Our rabbis tell us that the Jewish people were only redeemed in the merit of their Emunah in Hashem. And this comes down to Medrash in the Tanchuma on Parshas Beshalach, where the Torah indicates that gotta let someone in. See him pop up. Irwin, I'm sorry if you were waiting for a few moments. I didn't see you up top, so I apologize for any delay.
That's okay, Ralph.
Okay. So we've just been discussing how important Emunah is in Judaism, and we're now working on defining that concept, the working one-word translation that's not adequate, but we're working with now, is the word faith. And we just discussed the idea that our rabbis said that the Jewish people are only taken out of Egypt in merit of their Emunah in Hashem. So there's an idea based on the Rambam from Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yod, Chapter 10. We discuss that the highest level of connection between the Jewish people on a macro level and on individuals on a minor level, on a micro level rather, is that of a husband-wife relationship, that we should endeavor to be as close with Hashem as a husband is with his wife. And in any relationship, Emuna means that there has to be faith, there has to be trust in the other party. Without these components, the two parties in this relationship are not truly going to be close, and they're not really going to be connected, because there's no sense of mutual reliance on the other person. For example, if a husband doesn't trust his wife with their banking information, the husband can't expect her to be there for him when he's having a bad day. Because he's indicating that he doesn't trust her, he doesn't rely on her. So when he's having a hard time, how is she really going to be there for him when he indicates on a regular basis that he doesn't trust her with his money? Now, just to qualify that, we're not talking about a relationship where the wife says, "Honey, I don't want to deal with the banking. You take care of it, and you know I'll take care of other responsibilities." We're talking about a case where the husband is withholding that information from his spouse. Before we can feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to understand that Hashem is always there for us. And it's an important distinction between a concept known as Emunah that we've been discussing until now, and that of Bitachon. Right, we're focusing on in this year only on the idea of Emunah. And the reason is because Emunah is a more abstract concept, as the Chazon Ish points out. Bitachon, practically relying on Hashem, is a more concrete concept. Often they're used interchangeably. So today we're focusing on the idea of Emunah. So despite the level of difficulty that David HaMelech had throughout his life, he had this concept of Emunah. In Tehillim Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Aleph, he says, "Hashem roi lo echsar. Hashem is my shepherd. Hashem is shepherding me throughout life. I'm not lacking anything, because I know Hashem is leading me through." David HaMelech is expressing the idea that Hashem is like a shepherd in that he provides for all of the needs of his people. Therefore, David says, "Lo achsar, I know that I'm not going to be lacking anything and I can depend on Hashem to take care of leading me throughout life." And it's this attitude that helped David HaMelech to develop into a leader of the Jewish people. If David Kimchi elaborates on this idea of Hashem as a shepherd by explaining a pasuk in the book of Isaiah, the book of Yeshayahu, in Perek Mem Pasuk Yud Aleph. And he notes that Yeshayahu compares Hashem to a good shepherd who tends to his flock. So we see that this metaphor, this image of Hashem as a shepherd, is not just an idea that David HaMelech had. This is an idea that Hashem expressed through Yeshayahu to transmit to the Jewish people as an idea to have about Hashem in how he interacts with the world. And the Radak elaborates on this idea. He says that Hashem is like a shepherd who gathers the young lambs who don't have independence yet, they can't walk yet, and he carries them in his chest and he leads their nursing mothers slowly and gently. And so too Hashem is going to lead the Jewish people out of exile, slowly and gently, supporting each and every broken one. In other words, referring to Hashem as a shepherd reflects our belief that Hashem is watching over us and Hashem is protecting us from harm. And additionally, as Hashem is taking care of the Jewish people in the past, so too Hashem will take care of the Jewish people going forward. And the Radak makes a similar point on a different statement from David HaMelech. In Perek Kof Yud Ches, Pasuk Vav, David says, "Hashem is with me, so I don't fear. What can another person do to me?" And according to the Radak, David is saying, because Hashem is with me, I'm not going to be afraid of anything that a person might try to do, because that person's not going to have the strength or the ability to do anything that would harm me, because Hashem's not going to let them. And if something does happen to me, then Hashem is the one who caused it to happen. So, what's there to worry about? Now, obviously, this is a very elevated level of existence to go throughout life with the understanding that, you know, everything that happens, both good and bad, is directly caused by Hashem. But this mentality sums up the concept of Emunah. And although we might not feel it, Rabbi Ben Zion Schaefer points out in his work, Finding and Keeping Your Soulmate, which ironically has very little to do with the idea of dating and being married, and more about the idea of faith and relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how that interacts with that period of life. But he says that we need to remember that Hashem is with us throughout our day. Right? Let's employ this image of Hashem as a shepherd. That all day, morning and night, Hashem is with us. He's watching us, He's guarding us, He's protecting us from harm, He's orchestrating the events of our life. And if we tune into this reality, which albeit is difficult to maintain, we will feel very close to Hashem. And this mentality is foundational to Emunah, that Hashem is guiding and protecting us. So we're seeing the idea of Emunah just being translated as that of faith, of just belief in Hashem, is not adequate. It's more than that. It's a deeper connection to Hashem than that of reliance in a emotional manner. It's not just the idea of that there's this God like floating up in heaven and we believe that God created the world. It's like, yeah, you know, I kind of think about it, I kind of believe about it. Rav Hirsch points out in Choriv, as well as in his commentary to Bereishis Perek Tesvav, where he talks about the idea of Avram being identified as Vehamin Bashem, is Emunah is much more than just, this is an idea I believe in. I believe that you know, the Kansas City Chiefs should have won the AFC Championship game yesterday. I believe that the Rams should not have left St. Louis and that they should be celebrating their Super Bowl here and not in Los Angeles. We can believe in things. Right? That's not the idea of Emunah. Emunah is being more connected to the idea of faith is a one upon which we are founding how we go about our day, how we go about our life. The idea of Emunah, Rav Hirsch explains, is building on this idea, this metaphor of Hashem as a shepherd, and taking it even deeper. The idea that because Hashem shepherds us through life, we are going to live life differently than we would have otherwise. Here's a practical example that Rav Hirsch does not give. I'm using it to illustrate his point. If a person is living life with a connection to Hashem, then shul is not a place a person attends once a week Shabbos morning. Either this is where I attend to pay homage to Hashem. Shul is a place where a person goes as often as they can to connect to Hashem, or reconnect to Hashem, to focus on connecting to Hashem through prayer, through tefillah, in a way that maybe they're not super in touch with the rest of the day because we get caught up in being busy. But that's how the concept of Emunah is a foundational one. It's one that grounds us in our connection to Hashem. So Rav Shimshon David Pinkus Zatzal recommends an idea that can help us tune into the feeling of security that should develop from keeping the idea of Hashem as a shepherd in mind. And Rav Pinkus writes in his Sefer, Nefesh Shimshon, Trust in Hashem, on page 38, that when a person gets into up in the morning, he says the tefillah of Elokai Neshama. He notes that the Lashon of Elokai, my God, is a personal expression. And in effect, this person who gets up says, Hashem, there's you and me. Let's forget about the whole rest of the world for a moment. Besides the fact that at the time we're saying Elokai Neshama, the coffee hasn't kicked in yet. We're like still rubbing the cobwebs out of our eyes. Maybe we've rolled over two or three times when trying to get up in the morning. So it's not difficult to forget about the rest of the world when you can't open your eyes that widely in the morning. Erfinka says that if you continue to run my life as you've been doing until now, is there anything for me to worry about? I've gotten this far. Another idea that helps us connect to Hashem is the tefillah we say before Elokai Neshama of Moda Ani. Right? It represents Hashem's faith in us. Why? Because we say Rabbe Munasecha. Hashem, your faith in us is great. Doesn't matter how many times you messed up the day before. You have faith in us. You've allowed us to get up and go about a new day. This faith is very powerful. Despite whatever averus may have made the day before, Hashem gives us another day of life. Hashem gives us the opportunity to correct our mistakes and to improve our character. Not only are we having faith in Hashem, but Hashem is returning that faith to us and has invested it in us by giving us another day of life. Yes, Leo?
Propels us to relate, to find all kinds of find more vehicles to relate to it. Is that what you said?
I think that is an implication of what they're saying. But Rav Hirsch is not saying Emunah is a vehicle. Rav Hirsch is saying Emunah is the foundation. And if we don't have that foundation, then our connection to Hashem is not as robust as it could be. It's missing something. Now, you have a house without a foundation. What's that house called? It's called one in Los Angeles because they don't have this thing called basements there for the most part. They still have a tiny little foundation. It's not like, you know, a gazumtiga foundation that we have in St. Louis or on the East Coast. Right? So, I mean, they don't need the same level of foundations in the East Coast because... I'm sorry, in Los Angeles, because they don't have this thing called, you know, really, you know, high winds. That's a little bit in jest. But Pinkus is describing Emunah a little bit differently, and it's not in conflict with that idea that we express in the name of Rav Hirsch. It's reflecting the idea that this is something that we should, you know, kind of keep in mind. Rav Hirsch is saying, is discussing the aspect of Emunah, that this is how our relationship with Hashem is founded and upon what it is rooted. Rav Pinkus agrees with the idea that Emunah is a very important concept in our relationship with Hashem. The idea that I quoted in his name is reflecting more the idea of how that idea is not just one that is abstract. That idea also taps into how we operate as Jews, if that makes sense. So, Tosos in Maseches Brachos on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph explains to a pasuk that we say in Tehillim every Shabbos in Perek Tzadi Beis Pasuk Gimel in a similar manner. David HaMelech wrote, "Lahagid baboker chastecha ve'emunascha ba'leilos," to relate in the morning your mercy and your faith in the nights. So Tosfos quotes a Medrash that says this phrase is referring to Hashem's faith in the Jewish people. That a person is sure, he is certain that he is going to wake up in the morning and he gives over his neshama at night. If a person didn't believe that they were going to wake up the next morning, God forbid, and if they knew that this was going to be it, and that as soon as they went to sleep, it was going to be lights out permanently, the person's not going to sleep. They're going to do whatever it takes. You know, they use amphetamines, extra coffee, no dose, because they're going to keep it up themselves up as long as possible. But we believe that we're going to wake up the next morning, and in a sense, we give over our soul to Hashem at night. And Hashem, in turn, returns their soul to us the next day without any effort on our part. We just open our eyes. We might curse, you know, our alarm clock for having woken us up because we want to get a little bit more sleep. But we don't have to do anything to get our neshama back. Baruch Hashem, we wake up, and that's it. In order for us to maximize the level of care and supervision that we hope to enjoy from Hashem, we need to hold up our end of the relationship. We need to believe in Hashem, we need to be faithful with Him, we need to lead a life that is rooted with this concept of Emunah. And we reinforce this idea every morning and night when we recite Shema, which corresponds to our Emunah in Hashem. Because we're focusing on our belief that Hashem is the creator of the world, and we're working on our emotional and cognitive connection to Him. The emotional connection is that we say, V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. We have a mitzvah to love Hashem. So this is taking Emunah even further. But it's an idea that we're supposed to be founded on Hashem, but we're supposed to use it to connect to Hashem. We talk about Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that Hashem is one unique in the universe and that everything is connected to Him. And in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Chazal tell us that our foundation of our service of Hashem, our relationship with Hashem, is our willingness to accept Ol Malchus Shemayim, the yoke of heaven. And Tosfos says that this is why when we say Shema and the pasuk of Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, where we accept this yoke of heaven, Ol Malchus Shemayim, it comes before Vahaya Im Shemoa, where we're accepting upon ourselves and committing to follow Hashem's mitzvahs, to follow Hashem's command. Because we can only accept that which we believe. Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto elaborates further on this side on the importance of saying Shema every day. And he says, one of the conditions associated with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is that each person should be willing to give his life for the sake of Hashem's unity and to do whatever it takes to be Mekadei Shem Shema. And this is an idea that comes near the end of his work, Derech Hashem. In other words, when a person says Shema, he should focus on committing himself wholeheartedly to his relationship with Hashem. But if Emunah is not the foundation of Yahadus, then why should a person commit himself that much? Why should a person be that invested in his relationship with Hashem that he should be willing to die for it? He should be willing to spend all his money for it. You could believe academically that Hashem created the world, but this comes back to the idea that we expressed in the name of Rav Hirsch, that Emunah is the foundation. Emunah is that upon which the rest of our relationship with Hashem builds. The mitzvah of giving over oneself to sanctify Hashem's name is very foundational to that point. And Rav Chaim elaborates and he explains the effect this commitment to Hashem can have on our relationship with Him. In Derech Hashem, he says that when a person bears witness to Hashem's unity in the manner in which we just described, then Hashem reciprocates and responds in kind. In other words, when we refocus our attention on our relationship with Hashem, Hashem focuses on us. And this mutual attention and focus strengthens our relationship with Hashem immensely. When we're faithful to Hashem, not when we just believe in Hashem, Hashem is faithful to us. The level of connection that David HaMelech described as Hashem being a roah, of Hashem being a shepherd looking out for us, that is directly related to our level of faith and commitment to Hashem. You hear stories about many tzaddikim, about many righteous people who are able to work miracles or that which seems to be supernatural. And you ask yourself, well, how are they different than us? One aspect is the level of emunah that we have versus the level of emunah that they have. And that their plane of connection to Hashem is so much stronger than the relationship that we might enjoy at this time. And that's how they're able to intercede on behalf of people. And why we say that davening to a righteous person, to ask that righteous person to intercede on our behalf, right? The Hasidic idea of, you know, giving them a kvittel, and, you know, they daven on behalf of the person who submitted it, is connected to this idea as well. And Rav Pinkus notes in his work Gates of Emunah on page 41 that based on the Gemara Maseches Tanis and Daf Ches Amud Aleph, if we place our trust in Hashem, Hashem honors that level of trust. And every person is different. The idea of Emunah and the idea on how much a person's individual relationship with Hashem, their individual avodas Hashem, is rooted in is founded on their Emunah. So the strength of that foundation impacts the strength of their relationship with Hashem. That's something that we always have the opportunity to build. Unlike a house, when you put the foundation down, that's it. And everything upon which that foundation is built, you can't really go back and redo the foundation, right, without going through a tremendous amount of work. And when you build a skyscraper, you have to plan out that foundation extremely precisely, because if you get the measurements and dimensions off, you may have been planning to build 75 stories. You're not going to be able to get more than 30, 40 if you don't build your foundation deep enough, or the structural integrity of that building will be compromised. The foundation of Emunah in our relationship with Hashem, it's not like, oh, the ideas that I had when I was 20 and 30 and I'll never be able to outgrow them. Our concept of Emunah is one in which that we are continually able to renew and continually able to strengthen, thereby becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this idea requires a little bit more elaboration because it's so critical to our connection with Hashem. Emunah in Hashem means that we understand that Hashem is faithful and Hashem wants what's best for us. And Rav Hirsch describes the idea of Emunah in his work Chorev a little bit more than we've described until right now. And he describes emuna as holding fast Hashem, even though his ruling hand, so to speak, doesn't manifest itself at all times in our experience. There's a concept of Hester Panim, where Hashem makes it look as if he is not present. An example of this is the beginning of the story with Purim, with the Megillah. Right? One idea that reflects Hashem's Hester Panim in the Megillah is that we don't have any mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly in the Megillah. So Chazal tell us that any time they say the word HaMelech, it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any time it's Melech, it's referring to Ahasuerus. But Hashem is hidden. And the idea of the Purim story is that even though for most of it, the Jewish people did not see Yad Hashem, by the end of it, it became clear that Hashem was running the show. And Hirsch continues that even though obedience in Hashem's law seems to threaten extinction, like keeping the Torah in the times of the Megillah seemed to be...
Would you say threaten extinction?
Mm-hmm.
Would you repeat what you just said?
Sure. That even though it would seem that following the Torah in a particular time would lead to our extinction, right? So in the time of the Purim story, the Jewish people were told by Mordechai, do not go to Achashverosh's meal. I'm like, nah,
we want to be part of it all.
Right, we want to be involved. But Mordechai said, no, it's a bad deal. And Chazal tell us that what ended up happening is, as you see from the Megillah, it says the kelim shonim, the different types of vessels, that the Jewish people ended up drinking and eating off of the vessels from the Beis HaMikdash that were designated for hekdesh, for holy use. Whereupon if a person uses them, they've done a very big avera. Mordechai told them, don't go. It's not in congruence with Jewish values, and your connection to Hashem is going to be compromised by going. So it would seem that, oh no, at that point, if the Jewish people don't go to this meal of Achashverosh, that's going to lead to the demise of the Jewish people. Rewinding in Jewish history a little bit before then, Nebuchadnezzar has a huge idol set up in Bavel. And he tells everyone, you have to bow down to this or I'm going to kill you. Right? We all know that's a mitzvah yahagval yavar. A person needs to give up their life then serve in avodah zarah. Yet, the Jewish people consider themselves forced to do so and they all bow down. Even though the Navi and the Nevim at the time told them, don't do that, this is a bad idea. But first is explained, the idea of emunah should have informed the Jewish people in both of those times to put their lives on the line. Why? Because emunah is supposed to kick in even when logic would dictate that what we are supposed to do is the quote-unquote wrong thing to do. And this mentality allows us to follow the pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, to be simple and to just be with Hashem our God. According to Rashi, just one second, this means that we should focus on Hashem instead of trying to delve into the future and to figure out what is supposed to take place instead of trying to game the system. Yeah?
So, I realize you're not trying to be honest, but it seems like you're suggesting that the real meaning of a Buddha transcends logic. Transcends everything we consider natural.
In a certain sense, yes. Emuna has to be
For the Jews to look at the feast of Achashverosh objectively, they would be fearful, anxious. Their very existence would seem to be at risk. And the logical thing under such situations is, you know, if the hospital were filling up, it might be a good idea to put a mask on. It might be a good idea to social distance. Yeah. The logic might suggest it. Logic simply being a picture of time, the state of knowledge at that moment. But it doesn't go beyond what we see in the natural world of logic. by definition. So emunah, in the sense that we're going to cast away what we know logically to be a threat, means that our trust is so deep, our connection is so strong, that we're really not going to be preoccupied with this natural anxiety and fear and complicity. And we have the ability, knowing that our shepherd is taking care of us, that if we do the right thing, ultimately the right outcome is going to occur.
Exactly. And that's the idea that Rashi is trying to emphasize. That Rashi is telling us that the idea of Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha is to accept whatever comes our way wholeheartedly. That this is what Hashem has planned for us. It's not like out of nowhere, however you understand COVID-19 manifesting itself in our world and in our existence. It's not that, oh no, this slipped by Hashem and it just happened and He had no way of stopping it. No, we say Hashem gave us this extremely inconvenient, we hope that's the limit of it as opposed to... Well, that it is an opportunity, but that this is extremely inconvenient on a societal level, and I hope that that's as mild as it gets for people as opposed to being life-threatening. I'm not saying that COVID-19 isn't a big health risk and it's not something that we have to take seriously. But to say that, oh, Hashem couldn't have stopped COVID-19. No. As you're saying, emunah means that Hashem gave it to us. It's a little bit of a hard thing to accept emotionally that God put COVID-19 on our plate. And this is an existence that we now have to deal with. On some level, it would seem to feel a little bit more comfortable to say, Hashem's with us, but it just happened. But emunah really believes that, or emunah really informs us that Hashem leads us throughout life, and everything that happens to us is a result of Hashem's will, and that's what we have on our plate right here and right now, and Hashem's going to help us go through it. Which also means that although logic might dictate one response, emunah in Hashem, in our relationship with Hashem, as informed by the Torah, tells us that sometimes we have to, the phrase, suspend our disbelief, right? We have to kind of suspend the logic and emotionally rely on Hashem to the point where we say, okay, this is what the Torah is informed responses in a particular situation. So even though this might be, zigging while society is zagging, we still have an informed approach that we have to follow. And
so what about the Holocaust?
What about it?
The after effects of that. The people who, suffered through it, families, it's tough to have emunah.
Yeah. It is tough to have emunah, but we also see that people who experience those terrible situations that we don't wish on anybody of the Holocaust, that emunah is what got the Klausenberger Rebbe Zatzal through that experience. Emunah is what allowed many survivors to get married again, to rebuild new families, to rebuild yeshivos and Jewish institutions in America and in Eretz Yisrael. And we're never going to have the why. The idea that Rashi is expressing from Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha is that we're just supposed to accept it wholeheartedly. The understanding the why and the how could have and why didn't something else happen, that's not in the purview of emunah. And emunah says, if the concept could speak, emunah would say to us, that's not our concern. That's not our cheshbon. That's not our calculation. It's not something we need to think about. Hashem's led us individually and as a people throughout, and Hashem's going to continue to lead us throughout, and we're never going to understand why, so it's, kind of pick up and move forward as best as we can.
Emunah has a very strong element of subordination in it, in that our will, what we think is right, what we think is, how could God do this to the world? How could there be COVID? How could there be a Holocaust? Whatever. Why am I getting fired? Our will is what we logically and emotionally wish for ourselves. Who says that's good for us? best thing that happened to me is I got fired from a job once. Didn't feel good when it happened. I think it was a mistake, but it turned out to be a great gift. And that's the same way with tragedy. If we don't learn that this is a lesson in subordinating our will to Hashem's, we're never going to get it.
Exactly.
You're not going to, you know, not be a righteous person. If you're doing the right things, I do believe Hashem will, to the extent possible and to our benefit, allow us to have our will, make our will His will in certain cases for us. You know, you find you should have, right? But to live life trying to force your will on Hashem is the antithesis of it. And it's very a depressing, difficult life to have.
Exactly. And that ties back into the idea of saying Shema, the idea of accepting this idea of Ol Malchus Shamayim, of this accepting the yoke of heaven, informing us that, yeah, there is subordination to, you know, Hashem, who's the King of all kings. Right? And that's how Hashem designed the world, in that we can't function, we can't have a relationship with Him as He intended without saying, you know, Hashem is the Roah, Hashem is the Shepherd. Sheep don't get to decide where they go. Right? Sheep don't get to decide, no, today I really want to take the day off, I don't want to graze. Or, no, I really like having my wool. You know, the shepherd decides, no, it's time to shear the sheep. The shepherd decides, no, it's time to move to get water. No, it's time to move to a different field. A sheep's like, no, I like the view. I like the ambiance over here. Right? I like having a little bit more clover to eat. The Ra says, that's nice, but it's time to move on. And I think there are different times in our journey throughout Jewish history where the Jewish people said, in fact, after Ezra and Nehemiah go and they reestablish the Jewish community, the Beis Hamikdash, many of the Jewish people unfortunately stayed in Bavel. They said, we're comfortable here. We like our non-Jewish wives. We like the ambiance. We like the neighborhoods.
And like Mitzrayim too.
Exactly. And as the Medrash says, 4/5 of the Jewish people didn't leave. And we know that it wasn't positive for the Jews who stayed in Bavel. Like, we know it wasn't positive for the Jews who never made it out of Mitzrayim. Their participation in Jewish history ended at that point. So Rav David Feinstein writes in his work Kol Dodi on Megillas Rus that this mitzvah means that a Jewish person must acknowledge that whatever Hashem gives us is whole and perfect, and that we lack nothing essential. In other words, by living mindfully with Hashem, we'll feel better about our situation because we'll know that Hashem is faithful to us and Hashem has our best interests in mind. Right? So if imagine you're a sheep in this flock, and you're like, darn it, I really like this hilltop, the grass was delicious, I had a beautiful view, I don't want to move right now. So this particular sheep has two options. Option one is to resist, is to baa, is to make a whole big stink about it. Right? What happens to the sheep at that point? It doesn't matter because the roah, the shepherd, takes the stick. You know, nudges the sheep along, and the sheep can yell till it's blue in the face. Doesn't matter. The sheep's just going to be agitated. The sheep's, you know, probably going to, you know, is going to go on Facebook or Twitter and, you know, complain about the shepherd. It's not going to make a difference. The sheep is moving on. And if the sheep don't want to, the shepherd is going to pick up said sheep and bring the sheep to a different location. Well, yeah, we could also give the sheep some Prozac and make it feel a little bit better about the situation. The other option is sheep to accept Hashem, I'm sorry, the shepherd is moving us on. I don't have the same view of the sheep. Maybe there's a wolf pack on the other side of the hill coming our way and we have to get out of its vision so it doesn't attack us. Maybe the shepherd sees that there's storm clouds coming over the next hill and that if we don't move out of the way, we're going to get sopping wet. Right, and then we're all going to smell bad because wet wool smells terrible, right? Maybe, you know, it's getting dark soon, and you know, in order for us to get to a safe location for the night for us to go to sleep, we need to move now. If we want to be a happy sheep, right, the sheep takes on the mentality that I don't have the same perspective that the shepherd does, but the shepherd's been doing this for a while. I'm going to kick back and, you know, relax and enjoy the rest of our spazier. At the end of the day, the sheep is going to the same location the shepherd intends. The question is, what's the sheep's mentality going to be? Is the sheep's mentality, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm frustrated, you know, I'm outvoting this shepherd? Right? See how well that goes? Right? If the sheep keeps blaying like that, it's going to be the first sheep to the slaughter. Otherwise, you know, sheep, you know, has a little bit of perspective, relaxes a little bit, and takes on the mentality that, you know what, I'm not necessarily in possession of all the facts and all the information. I don't see the whole picture. It might be time for me right now to just, you know, be quiet and enjoy the ride. Our responsibility is to reciprocate the faith in Hashem that we discussed a few minutes ago. Chazal note that Habakkuk in Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet says, "V'tzadik be'emunascha yichya," that a tzadik, a righteous person, lives with his faith. And in Mesachas Makos and Daf Chavdalim and Aleph, our rabbis tell us that Habakkuk determined that the concept of emunah is the linchpin of having a good relationship with Hashem from his days and on. In other words, emunah is everything. Hence why Rav Hirsch described the concept of emunah as being a foundational one to Judaism. It's not one that's like optional. If we really want to have the best relationship with Hashem that we can, as Hashem intended through His Torah. And it's to this end that Hashem asked us to perform mitzvos to help us strengthen our emunah in Him. One mitzvah that has this goal is the concept of the mitzvah of Shemitah. Every 7th year, Hashem tells us, leave the land of Israel fallow as we are doing this year, and to allow a person, and not to allow, and that each person should cancel any debts that they have. That's the Torah level concept. We're not going to talk about Prisbol or Heter Iska. That's the Torah level commandment. And the Sefer HaChinuch writes that keeping Shemitah helps us strengthen our emunah and our bitachon in Hashem. And he says that a person becomes used to eating the fruits of his land every year, and when the 7th year comes, he behaves as if the produce is hefker, it's ownerless, it's not his. And he allows other people to freely take it. When he does so, his emunah on Hashem grows. And that the Sefer HaChinuch notes that he's never going, that this person who properly observes the mitzvah of Shemitah is never going to suffer from the trait of being a miser, and he's not going to suffer a lack of bitachon in Hashem. And in other words, by taking a step back from our physical agricultural pursuits during the year of Shemitah, on a national level, we are reminding ourselves that Hashem is the one who provides for us and that we have nothing to worry about. So what's the connection? Because for 1 year, we have to focus on the idea that we're still going to have food to eat. Right? That the next cycle of Shemitah isn't going to be detrimental to our fields because we didn't plow, we didn't plant, we didn't do what we quote-unquote needed to do. It reinforces our muscle of emunah in that we're reminding ourselves that Hashem is the one who takes care of us. It's not our efforts. It's not kochan ve'otzam yadi asali esachayel hazeh. It's not the strength of our hand and our might and our prowess and, you know, our John Deere tractors that allow us to be successful. But it's Hashem in of Himself. I am reminded of my years in Eretz Yisrael when 1 year when I was in yeshiva, our yeshiva took us to a trip, to a tiyul, to the Golan Heights. And I remember we're in this bus, and the terrain is getting pretty hilly. I was reflecting on the idea that in, you know, middle America, near we are, the fields are flat. Now you have acres upon acres, miles upon miles of, you know, flat, boring cornfields. Right? Where the most interesting thing on the topography is a slight little 10-foot hill in the middle that had, like, you know, 2 miles worth of lead up to that hill. So by the time you're saying it, you're like, doesn't feel like you're anywhere different. Meanwhile, in the land of Israel, you have beautiful fields of wheat that are basically on a hillside. I remember seeing a John Deere tractor. I reflect on the idea that this is interesting that, you know, I see all these American words in the land of Israel, that you see all these American products. see these Mack trucks, you know, pulling heavy equipment. It was very interesting to me. Because, like, oh, it's like Dorothy, I'm not in Kansas anymore. Scratch that. I grew up on the East Coast. We didn't have tractors there. They didn't really need them. Anyway, and you see these tractors, what seems to be driving up the side of a mountain at a very steep grade, just doing their thing. I was thinking to myself, this feels unnatural. Now, Rashi explains to us that the land of Israel is hilly because it allows more tillable land in less distance. That because you can plant on the top of the mountain on its four sides, it's a little hard to understand what exactly Rashi means by this, because it's not that the mountaintop is flat, it comes to an apex. But regardless of that little detail, I'm not sure that John Deere and Caterpillar ever intended for their agricultural equipment to work in that level of terrain. I'm not sure that if anyone would ideally pick a land to plant in, that you'd pick, you know, a very hilly area. I don't think so.
Mark Twain didn't think so either.
Right. So, by thinking about that idea of the planting and the agriculture, I wonder if our farmer here, by looking at the land that he didn't plant, that's still producing some things during Shemitah, and he's not supposed to plant, but you still have seeds that fell and that got into the land. Stuff is growing. It's not that the entire land is as barren as Oklahoma was during the Depression with the Dust Bowl. And not like Texas was back then. I wonder if the farmer walks around the land of Israel and saying, you know what, this still doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm walking up this hill because I'm not planting here, and it's a beautiful hillside. How exactly am I harvesting anything the other 6 years? I wonder if the farmer has this in mind as well. And along these lines, the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah 4:16 notes that the mitzvah to not covet, that's something that belongs to someone else, of lo sachmod, reminds us that we need to have emunah that everything that Hashem gave us is exactly what we need, nothing more, nothing less. Moreover, every time we say the word amen, we are reinforcing our faith in Hashem. In Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara notes that amen is an acronym of El Melech Naaman, that the God who is a trustworthy king. And every time we conclude a bracha and we say amen, we're stating, I have faith in the subject of this blessing, and I believe that which the bracha is describing came about through Hashem. When we say a shahakol, that everything came about from Hashem, we're saying, when we respond amen, we're saying, yes, I affirm that this is true. In regards to our marriage analogy that we mentioned a few minutes ago, amen, I think, is an example of positive communication. In a healthy relationship, not only is it important for someone to have faith in the other person, you need to express that faith in a clear way. That goes along with, you know, the normal pleases and thank yous that we need to give to our significant others. And when we respond to a bracha with amen, we are stating that we believe that Hashem will fulfill the bracha, or that we agree with the bracha's praise of Hashem, depending on what is the function of the bracha in question. And it's important to note that, you know, we've been discussing a lot about emunah until now, but we're only touching the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. There have been whole svarim, whole books that have been written on the topic of emunah. And the Chazon Ish notes that emunah is an inherently abstract concept. We're trying to make it as practical as possible, but it's important to reflect on the idea that emunah is a very deep concept. As he noted, it should inform how we serve Hashem and what our connection to Hashem looks like. And that it's more than just a simple belief, that it's a firm, fixed foundation upon which all of Judaism is based. And just to conclude with an idea from the Rambam that will be helpful as we take emunah and we put it in our pocket, so to speak, as we go about the days and weeks ahead. The Rambam says the first one of the famous animamims, the famous statements of faith, is that we believe that Hashem, the Creator, created and orchestrates all activities, And Hashem alone does, did, and will do all action. Eric Schaefer explains that this idea is a fundamental principle for the following aspect of Emunah. And he says that Emunah, among other things, is the understanding that Hashem is involved with the big picture items. That Hashem runs the world across all platforms and situations, and that Hashem is controlling every outcome. By understanding and reflecting on this idea, we'll be reinforcing the idea in ourselves that Emunah is a foundation of our relationship with Hashem, that Emunah reminds us that Hashem is faithful to us by keeping us alive even after we make mistakes, that Hashem is keeping the world going, to remind us that we should take a step back and rely on Hashem as a shepherd, that not only is Hashem going to take care of us, that we don't have to really worry about, well, if this happens, then X or Y or Z might happen, and so on and so forth. And to reflect the idea that our connection to Hashem is the foundation for how we live, both just as people in the world and as Jews as well. So thank you very much for your time, and have a great day.